It's on page 123 of Voices of Recovery. What do we say when we talk with God? We say whatever we feel like saying. That's from the OA 12 and 12. What sets OA apart from the diets, clubs, and other programs for compulsive overeaters? A faith in a higher power that will restore me to sanity. And that higher power can be anything I choose it to be. I can choose God as I understand God, not as my parents understand God, or my community, my friends, or even my sponsor. It is my understanding that matters, no one else's. God comes to each of us in the way we can best understand. I need no formal ritual, no structured prayer to talk to my God today. I need only believe that God is with me and God is here. I talk to God today as I do my best friend. I seek guidance, ask for strength, and most of all, I say thank you. Okay, with no further ado, please join me in welcoming our first speaker, Mary Pat.
Cool. Thank you. First of all, I'm Mary Pat, a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Welcome all of you to this 4th of July. Haven't we got a glorious day here? And it's nice to be in the park. How great is that? If people are having trouble hearing me, please raise your hand and I will speak louder. Okay. Perhaps I should stand. Maybe that's better than standing. Can you hear better? Okay. For those of you who have heard me, I apologize because I may be repeating myself and you may have heard some of these stories before. But because today is a spiritual focus, or that seems to be part of the meeting, I want to say what it was like for me before I came in program. And when I was growing up, I grew up in a family that had a Catholic family, and my father was a convert. They can be terribly staunch about the literal word. And I had a mixed bag. I had a Catholic education, and I had really wonderful teachers, and also people who really had no calling to teach, and that was complicated. And I felt the same way about the church. I had guidance in the church that I thought was absolutely inspired, and I had guidance in the church that I thought was deeply uninspired. And because of that, I had a God in place that punished me, that had a level of perfection, that a standard that I was supposed to rise to. I lived in a constant state of disappointment in myself. I didn't eat properly, I didn't talk properly, I wasn't smart enough, I didn't look good enough, I wasn't good enough at sports, anything I took on I was less than. And I felt judged all the time, and I kept thinking that I saw around me people who were all getting every aspect better than I was. And I felt that they were better liked by the higher power than I was. And that there was something that I could do or adjust to gain approval of my higher power. I continued with that because I did have a belief that there was something more in the world than just what I was seeing. But I also felt that somehow something was missing for me. And I had tremendous difficulty as I was getting older believing that if you didn't believe in one faith, that there was a possibility that you'd go to hell. The idea that a higher power had a hell and a limbo, all of that didn't sit with me. I was having such trouble with my religion. And it seemed like there wasn't any real conversation about any of that. We were spoon-fed it, and if you were behaving yourself, you just believed it. You didn't challenge it. You didn't rock the boat. When I came into this program, I had already begun work on that because it hadn't worked for me. I had found myself despairing. Oh, one of the berries from the tree, are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
right.
Startling. Mm-hmm. Are you all right?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Sorry.
So look out for the berries from this tree. They're violent. Bombs on 4th of July. So what I realized was at about the age of 34 or 35, I had an episode that landed me in the hospital, and I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Then I really felt God didn't work for me because I thought, okay, now I'm being punished for yet something else. And I did think, okay, my life has been stopped as I know it. I now have an opportunity to recreate myself. And at the same time, I thought, I can recreate this higher power that I've got. So I began to read a lot of literature, and one of the things that I was drawn to was, because of a dear friend of mine, the AA Big Book. And I read it from cover to cover. I didn't join any program at that time, but I read it from cover to cover, and I felt that I got some answers in that, some relief, simply reading it. As life progressed for me, I was putting on weight. I was having difficulty with being very extreme. I was full of energy, then I was full of despair. I did a thing beautifully, then I didn't do it at all. There was nothing, there was no middle ground in my life and no consistency. When I came into this program, I came in primarily because I had a very dear friend who had been in program, one program for 17 years and this program for 7 years. I had put on a tremendous amount of weight. My top weight was 225 pounds, which, you know, is relative according to the issues everybody in this room is in this area is dealing with. But for me, I had always been 20 or 30 pounds overweight, and now I was getting nigh on to 100 pounds overweight, and felt punished again. So my sister had contracted cancer and subsequently died of it, and I was one of her primary caretakers during that process. My sorrow and disappointment were so great by the time I came into this program, I was having a hard time getting up and functioning in a day, just having a day. And I knew I was unhealthy, my weight was unhealthy, I was having trouble moving. I used to do a lot of walking, that was getting difficult. I went to the gym and took a yoga class, and I couldn't do any of the postures because I had an enormous stomach between me and possibility of touching my toes. So I just didn't know what I was going to do. It seemed to me like life was shutting down for me, and I was in a despair that I just never really experienced, really profound despair. I then came to these rooms, and I have to say that I was startled when the second step was read, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, that the sorrow that came out of me, I think I cried for the first 2 months. I hear that, read, and then I just cried through the rest of the meeting. And I thought, is it possible that we can truly be restored to sanity? Not only just sane existence in the world, but for me, true sanity in my mind. It seemed like there was so much chatter and so much that was negative in my mind all the time. So what I began to realize is I was drug abstinent right away from the substance of sugar. That was something that just left my life right away. And that alone made a huge difference in my life. And I began to realize that my body chemistry is really affected by what I eat, and I wasn't eating healthy. And it was causing some of the drama that was going on. But what I really found was an opportunity through the steps, and particularly my fourth step, getting rid of some of the conversation of my past and sitting down with a compassionate sponsor and reading this information and past history to them. I walked away from that with a tremendous relief, letting go of bags that I had packed that were obviously just knocking me out. I was compulsively overeating because of them, and I was in despair because of them. So I received immediate relief right away. For any of you that might conceivably be newcomers, I cannot recommend more highly moving through your steps. The rewards are so much greater than any fear you have about working them, that I cannot tell you the grace that you'll stand in just from having done that, the serenity you can find around your life. So I began to hear from other people differences in their higher powers, and I began to research and create a new higher power for myself. So whenever I had a thought that didn't work for me, I got to make my higher power more compassionate. I had made my higher power so human it had all of the problems I had. If I was judgmental, it was judgmental. If I was critical, it was critical. I thought, ooh, it's got to be better than me. I'm in this program because I don't think I'm doing so well. Why would I actually drag a higher power in here and not heal that a little bit? So I got an opportunity to heal my thought about what is talking to me and what is there for me. And I got to finally clean it up and get something that was totally loving and totally supportive. That even when I said something negative to myself, it was standing there saying, that's not true. You have always been and always will be a right and perfect person. How you want to adjust that to make yourself easy to live with in the world, I'm there to support you. And particularly, I found that if it wasn't just about me, if it was about how I was behaving with you, if it was how I was driving for other people, not myself, it was easier for me to hear that voice. If I thought, okay, if I get in my car today, and I'm driving down the highway, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm late, what can you do to help me here? I need help so that I don't take that out on everybody else on the street, that I still drive in a compassionate way and obey the laws. And I found that that changed. It didn't change 100%. I still had days when I got in my car and I was already, you know, whipping down the street trying to get around somebody that I thought was going too slow before I'd have the thought of, oh, it's all about you again. It's all about you again. And as soon as I'd have that thought, I'd get a chance to adjust my sanity. What was so extraordinary about all of this was I began to see that quite easily I lost 30 pounds. Quite easily I lost 35 and then up to 40 pounds. I danced with 5 pounds back and forth. I danced with another substance. I picked up and put down smoking 3 times in this program. I've been in these rooms for 6 years now. I have 3.5 years of abstinence. And some of that was because I picked up substances that I had agreed were a part of my abstinence and started over again. What I have found is I had an opportunity to grow up here. Just like my higher power grew up, I got to grow up. And I find today extraordinary things. There's almost no clutter in my house. I always seem to eat the food that I buy. It's not all rotting in the cupboards. I don't spend a lot of money anymore. I had issues with money, and I'm putting more money away now because I don't eat out all the time. It's okay for me to throw food away. You know, I even find myself sometimes, I was out to lunch with a girlfriend the other day, and there was food left on her plate. She said, well, what am I going to do? I have to take that home. And without thinking, took a glass of water and poured it on it. I said, well, you actually don't. You don't have to take it all home. You don't. If you have a fear about that, you can choose as an adult that that's not a good idea for you to take that home. You don't have to. She said, oh, yeah, that seems kind of sane. And I said, it is sane for me today. But I said, you know, I have no right to do that to your food. I apologize for that. But I said, it's just my impulse. Hey, I don't have to do anything today. That voice that there are starving children in other countries, you have to eat this, has not served me well. And now I find that I actually have money and finance that I can send to those countries that might actually help them rather than my food. Yeah, that I do. So I think they can use that more for the resources they need than, you know, my extra whatever. But, you know, when you're a child and you hear those things, they can lock down. That's the beauty of this program, is those things, there are many layers of those. We've been hearing them since we were small children. I actually believe we're born with it in our DNA, that we're actually healing past lives of this stuff. Some of it is so ingrained that, or the nationality you were born into, you're healing that thought. I think it's so beautiful that today I get to have a thought like that, and I can actually recognize that it doesn't sound sane. Run it by a couple of people, and I can change it. So the past doesn't have to run my life today. Simply because I did it in the past that way doesn't mean I have to do it that way today. I get to recreate all of my behaviors. So the things I was going to say is, I'm on time now. I have gas in my tank. I don't forget to put gas in my car. I try to leave a little early. Today I left 35 minutes early because I've never been here before. And I thought, I don't want to come tearing in here with my hair on fire going, I'm the first speaker and I'm late, and it's an insult to you. Now, those things can still happen. That can still be God's will, that I leave a half an hour early and I can't get here because there's fire trucks in the way or something. Then I have to surrender to that, you know. But I've done something in advance. I think about it the night before, not the morning of. And I actually wake up early so that I can be done with my ablutions and arrived, you know. And those things didn't occur to me before. I was falling out of bed at the last minute at the order of the clock and staggering around the house. And if I needed a cup of coffee, that slowed me up. And, you know, I think the night before, okay, if you have to be somewhere early in the morning and you want a cup of coffee, why don't you prepare the pot the night before so when you get up and you just punch that and you get in the shower and you come out and your coffee's ready and you walk out the door like a sane person. What I have found is I live my life now in the middle ground. I don't have a lot of highs and lows. And for a while, that was really hard for me. Those highs were fun. They were zippy and exciting. And my life isn't so zippy and exciting now. But the gifts that I get in return are that I've learned how much I like the middle ground. It's lovely to be a person that people can count on. To say you're going to be somewhere and you're there. I make more commitments now than I was able to make in the past. Because as fast as I was moving, I wasn't getting a lot done. Because it was too crazy. So I'd get like four balls in the air and start spinning. You know, let's tear a closet apart. Let's do a load of wash. Let's make a phone call. Let's decide to cook this meal. And I'm going to run over and help the neighbor garden. And pretty soon, you know, nothing's getting done. And people are saying, would you take your laundry out? Are you going to put those plants in the car? I know, honey, it was terrible. So what I have found is, today, I don't do that, but I have some idea, some parameters of what I can get done in a day that I can get done well. I can make a commitment in advance, months in advance, and know that I can protect it. I was always wondering if something more fun might come along and I didn't want to book anything beyond today. I can do that now too, and it's just terrific. I still have mornings that I wake up and I feel blue or overwhelmed. And on those mornings, I have tools now. I can tell myself, that's an old story. That's it, fine. Oh. I can tell myself that's an old story, and I can, in fact, say my prayers and use my tools and find myself turning that day around, or at least continuing to do my day with that as a hum in the background. It doesn't control my day. Anyway, so that was the 5-2. It was the whole 15. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for letting me share. And